Moonshots are audacious ideas that most people believe are impossible. If you believe something is impossible, it becomes impossible for you. Naveen Jain doesn't believe in the impossible, and this inspirational presentation from the Genius Network annual event explains why. Naveen Jain is an entrepreneur and philanthropist driven to solve the world's biggest challenges through innovation. A man who knows no limits, Naveen pushes big dreams into action, spurring massive cultural and technological change. His audacious vision and magnetic personality continually inspires others to follow what he feels impossible. Recorded live at the Genius Network annual event. For more information about Viome and a free simple guide to the microbiome, please visit geniusnetwork.com/Viome. That's geniusnetwork.com/Viome. Viome is spelled V-I-O-M-E. That's V-I-O-M-E. If you would like access to the full video presentation, the show notes, the links, and the special resources for this episode, please visit geniusnetwork.com/72. That's geniusnetwork.com/72.
Okay, here we go. I'm so stoked to introduce our next guest. Here's a quick test for you. What two things do these five men have in common? Elon Musk, founder of Tesla. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. Richard Branson, founder of Virgin Brands. Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, and Naveen Jain. Conquering space. Good point. Okay, if you said they're all billionaires and they all have companies focused on outer space, you are correct. Why are so many of the wealthiest, wisest, and most entrepreneurial men on Earth so interested in space? You'll find out as you listen to Naveen Jain, founder of Moon Express. Naveen came to America from India with nothing and later started a company called InfoSpace, which he built into a company worth $31 billion. He started Moon Express, which focuses on creating permanent colonies on the moon. His current focus is Viome, a disruptive healthcare company with the moonshot of making illness truly a matter of choice. This technology was developed for the national security to analyze everything going on inside your body, including your gut microbiome. Viome uses artificial intelligence to analyze all the information and make personalized food and nutrient recommendations for you to stay healthy. I just got my results back last week. Pretty interesting. Naveen was awarded the Albert Einstein Technology Medal and was named Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. Get set for a mind-expanding, out-of-this-world discussion, which I will attempt to do with Naveen. Give it up for Naveen Jain. What's up, brother? All right. Is this cool? Okay. So we've given everyone moonshots and multipliers. This has awesome. All been put on you, and a lot of this was inspired by Naveen, which I sent out to all of you, an article that he had written about moonshots. So let's just get right into it and just even talk about moonshots, because this is a term that gets thrown around a lot, but I like how you just hid my questions. Yeah, this is... why did you just do that, just out of curiosity?
So the moonshots are really these audacious ideas that people believe are absolutely impossible. These are the things that you think cannot happen, and especially it's not you that can make it happen. And the day you start to believe something is impossible, it becomes impossible just for you and not anyone else, right? So every time when you start a company, ask yourself a simple question. God forbid, if I'm actually successful in doing what I'm doing, is it going to change the lives of a billion people somewhere? If the answer is no, that's not the moonshot. What find out when you start something, is this something you're willing to die for? And if you're willing to die for something, then you live for it. And that's how you find what you truly care about. If you had everything in your life that you want, you have $1 billion, you have a wonderful family, everything that you want, what would you do? And if you do that today, and you'll get everything that you always want. So it really starts with your purpose. What's your calling? What is it that you will die for? And that's how you create your moonshots.
There you go. There you go. So, I mean, what was it in you that caused this? What were you like as a kid? Were you traumatized or anything?
Yeah. So, interestingly, yes. The answer is yes. But as growing up, I learned everything that I know today from a great friend, Peter Diamandis. So, Peter, thank you very much for bringing me in your life. Thank you.
Well, what I think is great is this is going to be kind of a ramp up even to, not a ramp up like it's different. What I'm saying, like, I'm going to interview Peter and Dan Sullivan after you.
It's all downhill from here on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. So,
let me give you my trauma as growing up. So it's interestingly, as most of you might guess, that I actually am an Indian, right? The brown skin guys are very hard to miss, right? So, I was born in India. And it, as many of you probably know that, we grew up very, very poor in India. We actually, their days didn't have food to eat. We didn't have a place to stay. And it turns out that we really didn't have to be poor. My father had a great job. His job was in the government, working to build the buildings for the government. And India, as you know, is extremely corrupt country. Everyone takes bribe there, and the government realized that if everybody's going to take a bribe, why we should pay much to our people? Let them just give them a small salary and let them take bribe. And the way the system works is that, you know, when you're building a building, instead of using the cement, you would tell the contractor, just use half sand and half cement. We know the building is going to fall apart in 3-4 years, but who cares, right? And the money that the contractor saves gives it to the, basically what they call the construction manager, which was overseer in the government. And he will take his piece and pass it on to his boss, and his boss will take his piece and pass it on to his boss, and everybody in the food chain gets paid from the building that's going to collapse in a few years. My dad decided that he wants to be an honest man. He's just not going to take bribe. And you would think that now we have no money, because we have such a small amount of money that we have, and you would think that would be a big problem. It turns out that not having money is actually not as bad as it really sounds. Human body is really not designed to eat as much as we eat. And when we eat too much, we all know what happens to us, right? I'm a living example of growing up now wealthy, right? All fat all around you. What really happens is every 6 to 9 months now, his boss will call the contractor and say, "Hey, I'm not seeing any money. Do you think he's keeping it all?" And his contractor says, you know what he's asking me to do? What? He's asking me to build a building to the spec. If I had ever known I have to use all cement, I would have never bid on the damn project. I'm losing my shirt. In government job, you never get fired. You get transferred. And every 6 or 9 months, we will get transferred from one place to another until we go to the most remote villages where there is absolutely nothing to be built. All they care about is not this. Here's a guy we are paying for. He's not doing anything. What matters to them is he's not taking anybody's bribe now. So we go into the most remote areas in the country where there was absolutely no roads, nothing to be done. And that's where most of our schooling was done. There were no schools there. So you sit on the floor and you write on the floor, and some adult will come along, feel the pity on you, and wants to teach you something. Interesting thing happened. My sister went on to become a postdoctorate in applied mathematics. My younger brother had a PhD in statistics and computer science. I was the least educated in my family, ended up getting an engineering degree and doing an MBA. Came to the United States with absolutely nothing, $5, and barely spoke the language. And God has been just amazingly kind to us. I've started several companies now, this is my seventh venture. And any which way you look at it, that so much I have received from the society. So thing that really changed my life really was about 15, 20 years ago. I had built my first successful company, InfoSpace, at that time, and I was on the top of the world, and I started my second company. And one day, I got a call from a woman, and she said, "My husband is in ICU, and he wants to speak with you." And I said, "Ma'am, I understand the hospital bills can pile up. We have a foundation. Send me an email. Send me the bills. We'll take care of them." And she says, "He really wants to talk to you." I said, "Ma'am, I really don't have time. I promise you we'll take care of all the bills. Just send me the email. And she said, "Can't you just spare 30 seconds to speak with him?" And I realized that I didn't want to hang up on her. It'll be easiest thing for me to just talk to the gentleman and just done with it. I said, put me through the call. And here is a guy on the other line. first thing I say to him was, sir, what is it that I can do for you? And he says, absolutely nothing. And I said, sir, I don't have time to play games with you. So just tell me what you want, and I'm happy to do that. And it's very interesting thing is, you know, when I came to this country, as you can imagine, I had absolutely nothing. And I was making $3 an hour. And I was living in New Jersey, really cold place. I didn't know what cold was. I came there in summer, and it was beautiful farmhouse. I was living in this mud farmhouse and in a water stream going behind the thing, and I thought I had arrived. I have this, you know, I mean, I'm making $3 an hour. Six of us are sharing this farmhouse, six guys. I was single, didn't matter. It was, life was good. I even bought a car, believe it or not, for $500. We bought a Chevrolet Impala that was 20 years old, and six of us shared it, and life was good. Until the winter came along, and I saw the white stuff fall from the sky. I had never seen the white stuff in my life. And I'm looking up, and I'm thinking, what a blessed country. What a blessed country. Here the white stuff falls. Even God is gracing this country, right? Until the next morning, everything is full of white, and I have no warm clothes, and I have no boots, and my shoes got holes in my shoes walking on the snow. And I'm miserable, and I'm realizing that maybe going back to India is really my choice. And I decided that's what I'm going to do. So here I am. I decided I'm going to go back to India. And there was a gentleman that who was working in this company that I had met. He was from Detroit. And I sent him an email saying, look, it was really nice meeting you. One day, if you ever come to India, I would love to host you. You have been a good host here. And I'm going to go back. And he says, you know, you're a smart guy. You really shouldn't go back. This country needs you. Why don't you go to Silicon Valley? That's where all the great companies are. And I'll, you know, call a couple of companies, set up some interviews for you. And I really think you will thrive here. So coming back to the story, and he did. And I went up to Silicon Valley, and the life was good. When this guy who was on the other line was that guy, he said, I have watched you succeed in this country. I just want you to know how proud I am of what you have done. And I just want you to know that every day I read about you, it gives me a pleasure as a father, as a parent, that you have done so amazingly well. So just want to thank you for staying in this country. I was hoping he will ask me for money because then my debt would have been paid off. And that was probably the worst feeling in my life ever had, which was really owing a debt to someone that you can't pay back. And that's the time I made a decision in my life that I'm going to do everything I can to pay forward. That if I can't pay back, I'm going to dedicate my life to doing things that's going to make people's life better. And that's really the whole idea of why I do these moonshots, hoping that something that will change people.
Well, there we go.
That's a trauma. If you want to talk about trauma,
yeah.
When people talk about poverty, they haven't seen poverty.
So when you're in those states, when's the last time you've been in what you would consider when it's happening, this is a fucked up situation I don't know how to get out of, I don't know how to deal with it. How do you move past it? Because you've been in, sure. You know, you've been sure. Massively criticized. I mean, there's been all kinds of things you've dealt with. But what are, how do you deal with really difficult decisions?
So there are a couple of ways. One thing is you can never let someone else define who you are. You can never let someone tell you what makes you who you are. So you can't really please everyone. And when people criticize you, the best you can do is hold your head high, knowing that you have done nothing wrong, but you can't let them control who you are. You can't control the world, but you can certainly control how you react to it. Mm. Other thing that I learned as an entrepreneur is that your life as an entrepreneur is like your heartbeat. Ups and downs of the life is what tells you that you're still alive. When you are smooth, that means you're dead. And you never want of a life of an entrepreneur to be smooth. When you are absolutely at the bottom, you know all you have to do is thrive just enough, as Tony said, get set for the winter. No, the summer is coming. The next beat is going to be up. Mm-hmm. right? And when you are on the top of the world, don't get too cocky, don't get too arrogant, because you know the winter is coming. The next heartbeat is going to be right down. So never get too depressed when things are bad, and never get too cocky when things are at, you are at the top, because either way, you know the seasons change.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. So, I mean, you have lots of friends in high places, and I think one of the ways that you got there was not only your business knowledge and what you've done, but you're an incredibly persuasive guy. I mean, I've spent a good amount of time with you at this point. I first met you through Peter, yeah. Mr. Peter Diamandis. How do you? I always go back and forth. I've known Peter for 7 years now, maybe, and I keep going back and forth with Diamandis, Diamandis. How the hell do you pronounce his name?
Diamandis.
All right. I don't know. I keep saying it. I don't know. Not that I care that much, because if I did, I
would
get
it. Diamond, you know, it's not only just rough diamond, he's actually a bright 4C, as whatever they call them, CCC diamond, whatever the hell that is.
We'll get 3D printed one day.
Yeah, here. Exactly.
No, so, I mean, you take control of situations. I mean, I've seen you do that. Now, for instance, we get up here, you take my questions, put them away. Now, that's a funny thing, and it doesn't matter because I've interviewed so many damn people, I just like thinking things through. But the fact is, that's an example of how you actually go about doing your life. You pretty much do what you want to do, within reason, I think. I mean, I'd love to talk with you about, like, as we're discussing moonshots, a lot of this is, oh, it's one thing to have an idea. It's another to behave in a way that gets people to do what you want them to do. And you're really good at enrolling people into your visions, into your missions. I mean, you started some, you know, insanely successful companies. So let's talk about persuasion. How do you do it? How do you learn how to do this?
So it's very interesting. It's a whole lot easier to build something that is audacious, that is actually going to change the trajectory of how humanity is going to live. It's so much easier to build a billion-dollar business than to build a million-dollar business, right? So you tell someone, hey, I'm going to go start a company that's going to help you find a roommate, an iPhone app. People say, great idea, good luck, have fun with it. You tell someone, I'm going to start a company that's going to make illness a matter of choice. We're going to eliminate all chronic illness from the face of this earth by understanding, empowering each individual to become the CEO of their own health. Because when you are sick and you don't know what is going on, you are helpless. And when you are helpless, amazing things happen. You're going to be victimized. You're going to be victimized by someone. And today, we call those healthcare system. Our pharmaceutical companies have become a parasite on humanity. They are the parasite that must die, right? These are the pharmaceutical companies that are taking advantage of people who are sick. When a CEO of a pharmaceutical company tells you the best drug that they develop are the drug that you have to take for the rest of their lives. Best drugs are the one that people have to take for the rest of their life. They should be ashamed of saying that. Not the best drugs that cure anything. They want people to be sick. And that's exactly what we don't want. Right? Now, so, amazing thing is, I have never started. I've started 7 companies, and not one of them have ever been in the same industry. And God, knock on this leather, every one of their company has been wildly successful. There has not been one company that has been less than $100 million. So when I started, you know, everything from space, I'm not a rocket scientist. I started the health company. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. Interesting things happen. When I set out the moonshot, we are going to make illness optional. The first call I got was the head of the IBM Watson Research working on AI. He said, for 20 years, I've been developing artificial intelligence. This is the problem I would love to solve, because if we can solve that, that will be my legacy. I got a call from Dr. Massier. She is a PhD in microbiology, MD, and she was working for Human Longevity Inc. for Craig Venter. As you know, Craig is one of the most genius person, cover of Time magazine, who invented life, man who played God, and he's working on human longevity. And she calls me and says, I want to work with you to solve this problem. What's the point living longer if people are going to be sick anyway? So let me help you solve this problem. It turns out At Los Alamos National Lab, they have been working for 10 years for biodefense work at national security, trying to figure out if a bad actor were to get hold of something biological, how would they know what's making people sick? So I got a call from Dr. Yusevich and says, you know, we have been working on a technology for 10 years. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, developing it. And I want to come and help you solve this problem. Now I have this amazing team and a technology that government has spent billions of dollars developing that can look inside your body and tells you what's going on and make specifically what you can do about it. Not, here's what's happening. Here's the food you need. Don't eat spinach. Don't eat kale. Don't eat avocado and eat more carbs. Right? Amazing life. Right? Now I put together an amazing team and great things happen. Every venture capitalist in the Silicon Valley says, what are you doing? Why are all these people quitting and joining you? I'm going to make illness optional. We want to invest in your company. And you say, I don't need the money. And that's like raising a red flag in front of a bull. You never want to tell VC you don't want the money. Because now they think you must have something so good that you refuse to take their money. Now they are desperate to give you money at any cost, right? And that's an amazing thing. When you don't want something, everybody wants to give it to you. When you ask them to go to the bank and say, I need a loan, no, you're not qualified. Sir, I don't need the loan. How can I give you the cheap loan?
So I think that's describing how you do sales, right?
So sales, actually, I tell you what, one of the things I notice when I come here is most people who are expert here, who are expert in sales, don't know a bit about sales. And I tell you why. You don't ever have to sell a thing. You want to inspire people to buy. So if you have to sell something, you're doing something wrong. What if you can inspire people to be part of what you're doing and they buy, not you don't sell, right? So the difference is you want to be as informative, as educational, and really make it bigger than themselves. So when I tell people that I want you to sign up for Wyome, I don't say, please go buy because it's going to help me make money. What I say is, please sign up. Not only you are going to feel better, but you're going to help the humanity gets better. All we need is a couple of million people. Once the artificial intelligence has enough diversity of data for millions of people, we will be able to solve every chronic disease. So please help me achieve my dream. Please help us achieve our moonshot. Please help us come together as humanity and get rid of these parasites and implode the healthcare system. And that's how you sell.
So yeah, so you enroll people into a giant big cause. Now what? It's one thing to think big grandiose ideas and talk about changing the world. And I think a lot of people use the whole, I've got an idea that's, I mean, they'll hear Peter talk about, you know, how can you impact a billion people? And so they haven't impacted one, you know, but they want to impact like the whole world. So where do you take it from this big idea to actually turning, creating the team, making sure you have a viable model that works?
Yeah. So essentially, when you have a big vision, never ever get distracted that this is unachievable. What you do is you take each slice of it and you start executing on slice by slice by slice. And next thing you know, you got a whole rainbow fit there. So you don't go out and boil the ocean. You say, what is the minimum viable product that I can launch today, but stay with the mission? But what really happens is, people along the way lose sight of what they're trying to do and they get caught up in what I call short game, making quick money. And I can tell you that when I launched Wyome, the quickest money was we got calls from every doctor and hospital. She said, we love what you're doing. We would love to order a lab test from you for Wyome. And we told them, we just don't do that. We're going to give you money and say, we do not do that. We want the consumer to become empowered. We want them to have the information of what they can do. Even to date, we get calls from the doctor. I can get hundreds of people signed up tomorrow, but I want to get the data, not the consumer. I will tell the consumer what they need. And by the way, when you order your blood report, the doctor says, I can't give it to you. It's your blood report. They don't want to share it with you. Imagine that. So one thing we made a decision was we will never, ever compromise what we stand for. We will never, ever let anyone get between us and the consumer who is actually buying it. We will always give them the information. We will always give them the recommendation. And what we allow is allow them to share. And you say, share it with my doctor, my spouse, my kids, anyone you want. But at the end of the day, each consumer is going to become the CEO of their own health. Because once you empower someone, you will always get it right, right? But the point is, we could have been distracted for a short-term money. My team thought I was crazy. Why won't I take the money? Pharmaceutical companies, we want you to be part of our drug trial, but we can't give you data. We won't let you know who the consumer is. I said, my job is to kill the pharmaceutical companies. If you have the same goal, come join me.
Do you think perhaps you could maybe have a better chance of accomplishing this if you had more enthusiasm?
Yeah. Interestingly, I'm still learning from Peter. Right. I mean, honestly, it's not something you create. It's not something you become. It has to come from your heart. If you don't believe in something that you're willing to die for, you can never be enthusiastic about it. Mm. And that's one problem a lot of people have. They sell things they know they don't believe in. They say, how can I build the quickest amount of time I can build in trust in someone so they will buy my product? Those are the short game. You want to play the game like Tony mentioned. Fall in love with your customer, not with your product. Do what it takes to make sure the person who is buying it is going to be thrilled and be delighted, as Jeff Bezos will say. To me, if you look at, there is a reason why Jeff has become the richest man in the world making no profit. Yeah. Right? Right? Because everyone who has bought things from Amazon will know there is nothing when you say to Amazon, you bought a product, even if it's your mistake, you tell them, I don't want this. They don't say, you bought it, it's yours to keep. They say, please send it back, and you can keep the product, we'll refund the money. Right? That is actually taking care of your customer. They play the long game. And that is what everyone in the room, the reason you get stuck at $1 million or $10 million or $100 million is because you play the short game. Believe what is possible. Think about what your moonshot is. Imagine. So that is the most beautiful word that I learned in the English language. If you just tell someone, imagine. For that second, they are willing to open to any idea. I can say, imagine a world where whatever that is you're doing, at that point, people are open to every possibility. So don't focus on what the world is. Focus on what you want the world to be. Don't focus on, is the glass half empty or half full? Focus on, do I want to fill this glass or not? Is this glass even worth filling? Because if it's worth filling, does it matter it's half empty or half full? And if you don't want to fill the glass, does it really matter it's half empty or half full, right? The thing is, whether it's your customer, whether it's your children, whether it is your employees, you as a leader or you as a father or mother never have to take them to the water or make them drink. Your job is to make them thirsty. If you make someone thirsty, they will find the water for the rest of their life and they will drink. What is that thirst? It's called intellectual curiosity. Once you can create the intellectual curiosity in people, in your children, amazing things happen. They will go out and rest of their life be quenching their thirst to do something meaningful. The success is never going to be about how much money you have in the bank. Success is going to be defined by how many lives have you positively impacted. I tell our children who, just by the way, I'm going to brag about them in a second, but amazing children. I grew up in a poor family. It was easy to have that hunger. How do you raise children that grew up in an affluent family? And I told them when they were young, your success will never be measured by how much you own. It will be measured by what you create. And if you own a lot and you haven't created anything, you're still a piece of shit as far as the society is concerned. Right? And you don't want to be that worthless piece of shit. Success, the way you know, the day you know you're successful is really easy to know when you actually become successful. The day you become humble is the day you become successful. If you still have an iota of arrogance left in you, then you're still trying to prove something to someone or yourself. You're still not successful, right? The interesting thing that I find, Joe, is that technology, for the first time in our life, is making possible for you and I and a small group of people to do things that could only be done by nation states. And I believe the entrepreneurs are going to be the next superpower. It is, imagine, when we land on the moon as a company, not only we become the first private company to do so, and just in case anyone is wondering, we are the only company in the universe that has permission to leave Earth orbit and land on the moon. So, you know, love Elon, love Richard, love Jeff, they're still stuck in the low Earth orbit, right?
When are you going to be on the moon? When do you project that you'll be on the moon?
My gut check is in the next, next year, sometime around summer. And okay. When we land on the moon, not only we become the first company, we become the fourth superpower. Only three superpowers that land on the moon. And we become the fourth superpower. The reason we believe the entrepreneurs are going to be the superpower is they are starting to solve the problems that we believed only the nation states could do. Going to space, healthcare. Healthcare is not going to be solved by Trump care, Obamacare. Is going to be solved by someone in this room saying, enough is enough. I cannot take it anymore, and we're going to fix it. And imagine, education. I was going to look at both healthcare and education, and I picked healthcare. And the problem in education are identical. Same problems. And I can tell you exactly what needs to be done. And I hope one of you in this room goes and fixes it. Because if you fix education, instead of my going to do that next, I'll go create abundance of food, abundance of land, the abundance of energy, all the problems that we need to solve. Education. What's the problem with education? Our education system was designed to teach you skills. Imagine what's happening in the world of exponential technologies. Skills are becoming obsolete every 5 to 7 years. By the time you graduate, your skill is no longer needed. Think about that for a second. What do you get? You get chronic unemployment. The skills are becoming obsolete. Our education system was designed to create these people with the skills so you can be employed rest of your life. Now you have to create an education system, learning to learn, learning to solve problems, learning to work together. Today in education system, when you work together, you know what we call them? Cheating. When we do the same thing in a company, you're a team player. Imagine that. So imagine, what if you can create an education system that's adaptive, that is personalized, that is gamified, that is based on the neural feedback of how you learn, and your education system gets adapted to how you learn rather than you adapting to how teacher teaches. All that can happen. And imagine if you can solve education, you can create abundance of energy, abundance of water, abundance of land. We can bring world peace. Think about that. What do we people fight over? They fight over land. They fight over water. They fight over energy. All we have to do is look up. Where is the scarcity? We are living in a tiny pale blue dot in our own galaxy. And there are billions of galaxies in this universe. And there could be billions of universes in this multiverse. Where is the problem? Look at the energy. There is nothing but energy. There is nothing but water. It's in our mindset of it's not possible. People say, how can you live on the moon? Don't you know there is a tremendous amount of radiation on the moon? And I said, yeah, but that's another opportunity for us to solve that problem. Nature has already solved that problem. We find the bacteria growing in the radioactive nuclear waste. So nature has figured out not only how to protect its DNA from the radiation, it has figured out how to use the radiation as a source of energy. So imagine when you are on the moon as opposed to eating pizza, we will be going out and eating radiation. Honey, do you want to go out and get some radiation? So all we have to do is take the genes from the bacteria, use CRISPR, which is a genetic editing technology, and use the gene editing to modify our own human genes so we are completely protected from radiation. Just one of the many things you can do, right? The idea is every time you see a problem, don't think of it as a problem. Think of it as an opportunity. The bigger the problem, bigger the opportunity. So every speed bump, don't say, God damn it. You say, aha, there is another business opportunity. And the only thing you have to remember, as an entrepreneur, you only die from indigestion rather than starvation. That means don't do too many things at the same time. Do few things, but do them really, really well. So do things that you actually are good at, focus on them, and if you see a bigger opportunity, let go of this one. You got to let the good things fall apart for better things to come together. So if you are really think your marriage is, your relationship is good, but not excellent, let go of the good thing to find something better.
No, that's great advice. I want to actually touch on that too, because that I think is one of the, and we've had, when I was over your house in Seattle, 2 months ago or whenever it was, and this freaking guy's crazy. He's like, we're in this, what kind of boat was that? It was fast as shit. I thought I was going to die. But anyway, his neighbors are Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. It was quite awesome.
Let's not do name dropping, dude.
No, I like the name dropping.
Let's focus on them.
But here's the thing though, because I'm curious of, all these very successful entrepreneurs, what's the kryptonite? What is the kryptonite that fucks you up, that screws up entrepreneurs, that you have learned through all of your ups and downs? What are the things that just avoid? One of them you just mentioned, which is don't do too many things.
Yeah. So other thing is, for all the naysayers. There'll be plenty of people, it doesn't matter what you do, they will tell you, you can't do it. You're not good enough. It's not for you. Get rid of every single person who is negative in your life. You become the average of the 10 people you surround yourself with, and you don't need negativity in your life. Every time somebody comes to you and say, you can't do it, just use the really polite way of saying, you know what, go F yourself. Right? So the thing is, don't let someone tell you what you can't achieve. Don't let anyone define who you are. The other advice I can give you as a fellow entrepreneur is, it is when you are looking for a friend, you want someone who is just like you. When you're looking for a teammate, find someone who is very unlike you. You want people who are complementary. You are a visionary. You are the guy who gets people inspired. You don't want another guy who is just like you. You want a guy next to you who is operational guy. He says, look, I don't even know what you are doing. I don't care. You keep cutting the trees and I'll keep building the road behind you. I hope you know where you're going. Right? Yeah. And that's what you really want. You want the guys who just, and many times challenging you. Are you sure you know where you're going? And you hover up and say, yep, I see a road right around this wall. Right? And the idea is your job is to constantly hover up. And I think there's another great advice that I think both Tony and Dean gave yesterday that, you as an entrepreneur, if you get stuck at the day-to-day stuff, then you're only working inside the trees. You will never be able to see what this forest looks like. When you run into the wall, you see absolutely no way out unless you were rising just 20 or 30 feet or 50 feet and you said, wow, that wall is only 50 feet. All I have to do is walk this side and there is a right around the wall. But that means you have to go up. That means you can't get involved in day to day. And that's one of the things that I do is, when I start a company, I build an amazingly great team. There are the most brilliant team, but the thing that I love is I want to know nothing about the industry that I start. And that's one of the fear most people have. They say, how can I go do something I know nothing about it? And that is actually the biggest asset you have. Once you become an expert at something, you can only improve it incrementally, maybe 10% or 15%. But if you want to change something 10 times or 100 times, you have to challenge the foundation of everything that experts have taken it for granted. What makes them an expert? They know the foundational knowledge. That means they will never be able to challenge it, because the minute you challenge it, you're no longer the expert, right? And you come from outside. Everybody thought the best way to keep the humans healthy is to make them sterile. Get rid of all the bacteria and viruses from human body and you will be healthy. Nature did not intend it that way. Just to give you an idea how much I've learned without knowing anything in this industry, what I realize is that our human body, when we look at our human DNA, only produces 19,000 genes. And our microorganisms in our gut, the microbiome that we say, produces 5 million genes. Think about that for a second. We are mostly microbial, trillions of microbes inside your gut controlling who you are. So you don't have to take my word for it. Just Google Parkinson's and microbiome, depression, autism, Alzheimer's, anxiety, your behavior, your fear, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, cancer. In fact, not only microbiome causes all these diseases, even the cure, whether it works or does not work, depends on your microbiome. So just yesterday, there was research that says a chemotherapy, if you have a certain microbiome and you take chemotherapy, it will guaranteed kill you, because these microbes take chemotherapy drugs, turns into a toxic poison that will kill you. Or will completely detoxify it, it makes it completely useless. Or if you do immunotherapy, there are certain probiotics if you take, this improves the things by 10 times. Imagine that. The cancer cure depends on your microbiome. There was a 2 weeks ago research by Cleveland Clinic that shows the breast cancer comes from microbiome, not from your genes. Your genes don't make you who you are. Genes don't define your destiny. Genes are alphabet. It tells you everything that's possible, doesn't mean it's going to happen. How genes are expressed is what makes you who you are, not your genes, right? Think about it. Your hair, your tooth, your lung have identical genes, identical DNA. You don't want the tooth growing up on top of your head, will not look good at all, right? It's simply the same DNA can produce hair, lung, heart. So it's all about gene expression. The interesting thing is, the reason I mention is, your microbiome are like puppet. They control, by the way, your microRNA in your amygdala and your prefrontal cortex. So your decision making and your fear and anxiety is controlled by them. Remember, your mother says, listen to your gut. Do the gut check. She was a scientist. She knew what she was talking about. Here's my theory. And this is yet to be proven. We believe this is our primary brain and gut is our secondary brain. I believe, just like we used to believe the Earth was the center of our solar system and everything revolves around Earth, we're going to find out that our gut is our primary brain, the microbiome is the puppet master, and this thing is simply the puppet tells the body what to do. Everything, what we crave, is decided by our microbiome. When we are hungry, when we are full. Imagine, I mean, people say, how can this microbiome control my brain? Anybody knows the dogs, when they catch rabies, what happens? First thing they do, they bite. They become aggressive and they bite. These microbes changes the behavior of who you are, because it takes control of your microRNA and interferes, becomes who you are. The mitochondria, you know what the mitochondria is, right? It's a cell inside our human cell. There is an organelle that used to be the ancient bacteria. That is the energy factory for the human cells. It used to be a bacteria. No surprise, the microbiome communicates directly with mitochondria as we age. So there was very interesting research that came out about a month ago. They looked at the 90-year-olds who are healthy, and they found that they have the microbiome of 30-year-olds, not the genes of 30 years old. If you can maintain your microbiome, you can be healthy at 90 with no drugs. When you take antibiotics, it's like throwing a nuclear bomb inside your body. You get the bad guy, and you get all the good guys. And when you kill your gut bacteria, bad things happen to you. And that's when you start to get sick. So just all I'm saying is we have been treating our human body like a black box. We have been thinking the spinach and kale and avocado is good for you. There is no such thing as universal healthy diet. What's healthy for you is not healthy for me. What's healthy for you today won't be healthy for you for 3 months from now. And here's why. Every time you change your diet, guess what happens? You're feeding the microbes only one way, and certain microbes grow, others start to die, and your balance is off. Anytime your balance is gone, what happens? Your body is not at ease. When you're not at ease, what do you get? Disease. Disease is essentially body is not at ease. And interesting thing is, today we have to do these tests. One day we're going to have a nanobots inside our body, constantly analyzing our human body, constantly repairing our human body. We'll be able to not only know what is going on, it will tell us what to eat to fix it. One day, just like 2,000 years ago, who said that says one man's food is another man's poison? There is no such thing as a healthy diet, right? That's what I'm talking about. It's old science, but we think it's a new science now, just because we can, now we have Latin words to describe it, right? But that's right. My point is, we all have known intuitively that our gut is the key to our health. So what I'm trying to say is, until the time when we are able to have nanobots in our body, until the time we are able to reprint our organs, 3D printed organs, so you can drink as much as you want because there is a new liver waiting for you somewhere. You can get a new one, right? Imagine one day when you get a heart attack and you call your doctor and say, hey, doc, my heart stopped working. I'm going to take a quick shower. Can you print me a new heart? I'll be there in an hour. Because your body will have these red blood cells that are constantly monitoring that heart has stopped pumping oxygen. They start releasing oxygen as if nothing has gone wrong. And they're 4 hours. So you can take a nice shower. Doctor has time to print a new heart. And you go back and life is good. What if we realize that we as humans actually don't even exist? Imagine that for a second. So imagine that what if we are simply an energy and we simply get haptic feedback? So when I touch my hand, I feel there is something there. What if there is nothing there? I simply feel the touch. Just like in a virtual reality, you have full haptic feedback, right? You could see something is there, but it's not there. What is real and what's not real completely starts to change. Amazing things are going to happen. The next 10 years are going to change the trajectory of how humanity is going to live. In the next 15 years, half of the Fortune 500 companies are going to die. That means you and I have a chance to become the next Fortune 500 company. And when the king is dying, you can become the next king. The only thing is, things are happening so fast, when people get so afraid that some competitor is 5 years ahead of them, just remember, they're 1 to 2 years before they die, because technology is evolving so fast, they're going to become obsolete in 5 to 7 years, right? So if you are behind, that means you are ahead by 5 years ahead of them, right? Many times you're going to find that companies are going to go out of business before they get a chance to be public. Look at Uber. Uber could go bankrupt before they become a public company. And here's why. Their biggest advantage is they have a driver network. When you have a self-driving car, what's the driver? The car manufacturer. That means Tesla can become an automatically overnight a Uber. If Tesla and GM come together, they're going to have a biggest network of drivers, and they can completely get out of Uber in a heartbeat, right? So imagine, what would you do that will change the trajectory of humanity? What would you do that will actually impact the lives of 1 billion people? What is it that you will die for and spend every day of your life living for it? Thank you. Find your moonshot.
Wow. Thank you, Naveen. That was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Genius Network. For more information about Viome and a free simple guide to the microbiome, visit geniusnetwork.com/Viome. That's geniusnetwork.com/Viome. Viome is spelled V-I-O-M-E. If you would like to learn more about the Genius Network annual event, please visit geniusnetworkevents.com. That's geniusnetworkevents.com. If you would like access to the full video presentation, the show notes, the links, and the special resources for this episode, please visit geniusnetwork.com/72. That's geniusnetwork.com/72.